Roadmen, today I'm going to give some advice to my younger self. Let's cue that intro.
The big question is this: how do we use cycling as a tool to improve our health, our happiness, and our longevity? That is the question, and this podcast will give you the answers. My name is Anthony Walsh, and welcome to the Roadman Podcast.
Roadman, welcome back, Roadman, to another week, to another Roadman Cycling Podcast. I hope this audio finds you well, you're in good spirits and ready to tackle the week ahead. Recently, I was reading a book, you might have read it, it's Tony Robbins' Money Master the Game, and the concept of it is Tony Robbins, the, you know, the motivational speaker, the guy with the huge jaw from The Simpsons, that's how I remember him anyway. Tony Robbins has built himself, you know, such a huge platform of amazing leverage, so he decides to use this leverage and reach back out to the 10 most prominent Wall Street fund managers. And he poses one question to all these Wall Street financial gods. He says to them, if you couldn't leave any of your financial assets, if you couldn't leave any cash, any property, any stocks, anything like this to your children, all you could leave them with was one piece of advice, what would that piece of advice be? And that's the premise of the book, and it teaches you, you know, their secrets to managing wealth. But it got me thinking, I don't have any children. It got me thinking that if I could only give myself three tips now to my younger self when I was starting out cycling, what would those tips be? So that's what I want to talk about today. But folks, before I get going, I would ask you to kindly head on over to Patreon, the secret podcast. It's secret podcast time of the month again. That's just about to get dropped for all our Patreons. So that's going to be my members only podcast, Ask Me Anything, where I give access to my very best bits, my tricks, my inside hacks, my tips. It all goes to the Patreon. So if you want to get that access to it, it's over on patreon.com/Anthony_Walsh. And I'm, I suppose, appealing to your sensitivities is a double bang reason to subscribe this month, because there's so much hustle has gone into the summit. It's roadmansummit.com. It's a completely free event that I'm throwing for all you guys, the listeners and the wider public. So I'd ask you to help me spread the awareness of that one. So just get that URL, roadmansummit.com, put it into your cycling WhatsApp groups, your Facebook groups, and let people know. I'm bringing together 30 of unbelievable speakers from the world of professional cycling. I'm bringing not together just the front of the house that you normally see, like the riders. I'm bringing together the background team. I'm bringing their physios, their dietitians, their strength and conditioning coaches, everything. And over the course of 2 days, I'm going to tackle the idea of optimizing performance from 30 different angles. It's absolutely epic. It's one of the best events, if I do impartially say so myself, it's one of the best events I've seen put together for free for cycling. So I'm really excited about that. The link to get your free ticket for that's in the bio as well down below. Okay, get on to these three nuggets of advice that I would give my younger self. The first one, I think it's balance. And, you know, what a sexy word, Anthony, balance. But cycling, in all seriousness, it can take over your life. And finding the right spot and the right level of commitment where cycling is a tool. At the outset, our intro we play every single day, it's cycling as a tool for health, happiness, and longevity. And it's finding the place where cycling complements your life and makes other areas of your life stronger. Example, like your relationship with your husband or wife or partner or boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever. So, you know, if you go out and you ride for 6 hours, 7 days a week, you're going to come home and you're going to be, that's obviously an extreme example, and I don't suppose many of you are doing that, but just to highlight my point. If you ride for 6 hours, 7 days a week and you come home, you're going to be spent, you're going to be miserable, you're going to be just in full-on recovery mode for the next day. You're not going to be that much fun to be around. At the very opposite end of that, if you're a complete couch potato and you don't go out at all, that's not going to be very good for your mental health state. You're going to pile on weight, you're going to get down on yourself, esteem issues. So on that continuum from riding non-stop to not riding at all, we need to find where we sit and where we're happy with, and the amount that complements the rest of our life, work, family, relationships, social, our goals. There's no right answer for this. It's the right answer for you. The right answer for me, you know, if I ride an hour a day, I'm probably going to be miserable. If I'm not going to, yeah, I'm not going to lie, I would be miserable. I know I need those longer rides, but it's finding that point and using judgment. And you'll step across the line sometimes and you get it wrong. And you go, look, that's riding too much. We all love to ride, but it's finding that right amount. And on that idea of balance, it's when you do hit a plateau, and I know a lot of you out there, I'm in a different situation because work with, you know, the podcast is, and the coaching company Roadman, it's more flexible. So I do have time that I can carve out during the day and I can work at night. But a lot of you guys listening, you're in that, have to show up and punch in at 9 o'clock, have to be there until 5 o'clock. So you have a very set routine. And so maybe you can only ride maximum 8 hours a week. And at some point we can do all this coaching trickery, which we do if you're one of our clients, and manipulating stress scores and working on specific zones, loading specific systems for race adaptations. But at some point, with a fixed training intensity, with a fixed training duration, if you can only train 7 hours a week for 5 years, there's only so much we can do, and you are going to plateau at some point. But it's understanding that when you do plateau, that the journey doesn't end. That's where it just starts. And that's what happened for me, because I thought, you know, for so many years I was riding full time and I was riding, you know, 25, 30 hours a week. And then when I came back down to balance and work with it and I could only ride 10 hours a week, I thought, nah, the gig's up because I'm going backwards. So it's over, because cycling has to be this constant game of progression. But it doesn't. The more important and the more enjoyable game is knowing that you have a fixed amount of time to train and being clever around, how can I get the most out of this? How can I get seek adventures out of this? How can I go and do a new gravel race? How can I get, you know, my aerodynamic, my CDA, my coefficient to frontal drag? How can I improve that for a race against the clock? And this is where it's exciting. So balance is my number one point there. Finding that balance in cycling that complements your life. That's the point one I would give to my younger self, and that would have stopped me walking away from the sport, which would have been super, super powerful. And it would have stopped me getting so down on myself maybe at times when I was full-time on the bike. Secondly, I would say holidays will just never be the same again. I remember going to a buddy's wedding. It was about two years ago, I'd say, when I basically quit cycling, that period where I wasn't riding the bike very much. And I went to the airport. And I was in the taxi, you know, in the morning on the way to the airport, which would be very common for me, very sleepy in the way to the airport. And you're doing that kind of mental check-in, go, do I have passport? Do I have my bag? Do I have all the bits? And I just felt like I'm forgetting something. And I got to the airport and I realized what it was. It was the first time I was at the airport in about 7 years without a bike bag. And it just struck me that some people will take that as a negative because bike bags are a hassle in the airport, but it just struck me as, like, cycling, it adds a new dimension to every holiday you're ever on. And if it's, you know, a holiday going away for training, brilliant, you get to explore villages and towns and meet people that you never would otherwise. But even if it's a holiday going away with your significant other, hopefully she's supportive of your cycling endeavors, or even cycles herself, or he cycles himself if you're a female listener, it adds a lot to those type of holidays as well, because I've had it on both. And so, yeah, I would just say it's a realization that airport travel and holidays will never be the same again once I find cycling. And my final point I would say to myself, and this was one that I was more guilty of in my college days before I was riding the bike full time. Don't get caught up in spending money on bikes. Don't get caught up in thinking that you need a certain level of bike to progress, because you don't. Now, there's a caveat here, because if you can have high disposable income and you like spending on bikes, more power to you. Brilliant. It's the people I'm targeting this message are like me when I was a student and I was really obsessing and putting myself into the point of financial difficulty. I've told the story on the podcast before where I forged a loan application pretending I needed a car for college so I could get my first power meter, but it didn't end there. I had this constant need to try and go from Ultegra to Dura-Ace, to the new Dura-Ace, to the carbon Dura-Ace levers. Honestly, that shit doesn't matter at all. It really doesn't. Like, there is no difference between Dura-Ace and 105. Now, people are going to come down on them and go, there clearly is a difference in these two. You are either a good bike rider or you're not a good bike rider. 105 to Dura-Ace, there's some tactile differences and some differences in the speed of shifting. And if you go on Cycling Tips or any of these, you know, websites that review stuff, they'll tell you it's must have. But there's a lot of vested interests in all this, you know, inverted commas, must have. This stuff is not must have. A good bike rider riding 105 on a cheap aluminium bike will beat a bad bike rider every day of the week on a 15,000 euro Pinarello Dogma with the latest SRM, carbon wheels and DI2. That's just fact. So many of us neglect the engine. We neglect the brain, the mentality, that athlete, the hunger, the killer that you need to be an athlete. They're the two primary drivers. It's brain and body. Tech, it's an afterthought. You know, as I say, you have the cash, spend on it, great. Don't feel like you ever need to. Way, way more important is investing in yourself through coaching to get that body just primed, and investing in the mind, investing in creating that killer, that winning mentality, because those two coupled will make you unstoppable. There we have it. Advice, three tips to my younger self. I hope you're listening, young Anthony, wherever you are out there in multiverse land. Okay, Roadman, I shall chat to you again tomorrow. Roadman, before you go, I've got an important announcement to make, because over 2 days, and the 8th and 9th of December, I'm going to speak with 30 of the world's leading fitness experts, and I want you to join me, free of charge, from the comfort of your own home. This is the first ever Roadman Virtual Performance Summit, where I'm aiming to bring together the best minds in fitness, and they're going to share with me their secrets for biohacking your physiology, melting away body fat, and smashing your cycling goals. Would you like to learn their secrets? It's easy. All you have to do is register for your free ticket over at www.roadmansummit.com/free. That's www.roadmansummit.com/free. The link is in the bio.